Yo guys, what is going on? It's your boy Skanky. Just wanted to give you guys a quick little tidbit before the podcast begins. Me and M. Cole recorded this live, so the audio sounds pretty bad. so just ignore that fact and try to enjoy it. Our podcast is not usually like this, I promise you. We didn't have a great audio setup, but still enjoy it. Much love to you guys. Make sure to rate and review. Love you long time. Okay, enjoy the podcast. Bye.
You know, I lied at the beginning of this podcast.
What?
I know, I'm sorry.
You never lie.
I know.
Sure. You said Irish never lies.
No, Irish never lies. Hey guys, welcome back to Shenantics. This is episode 10. I cannot believe we have made it 10 freaking episodes. That is insane. This is actually a special one. Episode 10 recorded live in Boston at PAX East. I'm looking across from me at a guy I found on the street. Skanky wouldn't record with me, so we literally had to go get someone else.
Hi, my name's Jim.
And so I think this is going to be a good episode. Jim seems like an interesting guy.
Yeah.
So, Jim, have you ever heard of the site called Twitch?
What?
That's all you need to know. This is gonna go great. This is gonna be perfect. No, it's me and Skanky are here. We both went to PAX East. First time I met him. Gave him a big hug. Did you see the hug video on Snapchat?
I watched the hug video.
Was that not like epic?
That was amazing. My reaction.
The look on
the
your
look
face.
was it's really.
Oh, it was great.
It tells a thousand words.
It's true. It was also a video, so we're like at a million.
There's a lot of frames in that video.
Quite a lot of pictures.
with a lot of emotions.
Yes, but yeah, your reaction was priceless.
I love those snapticle. What are they called? Are they called spectacles? Or
yeah, but I like snapticles.
Snapticles
better.
Is so good. Why didn't they name it snapticles?
I don't know. I think they're missing out. Yeah, but no, spectacles are Snapchat, what the parent company is, Snap Inc. They released these glasses with a camera built in and lets you record video that they can post up to Snapchat, and I really like them.
They're cool.
I really like them, especially really for cool. East. They were great because I tried to use them every time I saw someone for the first time at PAX, and I gave them a hug. Mm-hmm. And I think the hug video footage was really good with those.
Yeah.
So
they came out. It came out great.
Yeah. Thank you.
I was proud.
I had good help, good supporting actors.
Yeah.
So.
Oh yeah.
I sat everyone down beforehand. I'm like, this was gonna happen.
Exactly.
We had a meeting.
About it.
Exactly. We negotiated a contract and the money and how much to pay.
I expect that 10%. By the way.
No. It's 10% of the money I make from the video.
Wait a second. That was not that was not negotiated beforehand. We'll talk about this after the podcast. Guys, check out our next podcast. Me and M. Cole try to negotiate money.
Yes, it was going to go great. We've written an email on podcast.
Yes.
So the next thing to do is negotiating.
Yes.
Negotiating. But yeah, no, we are doing a live podcast recording. Shenantics is an episode about things that happen on the internet. But yeah, how have you been, Skanky?
I've been fantastic.
Oh, nice.
Real great. It's great to look into your eyes.
It's a little different.
It's a little weird. I'm looking at the mic when I'm yes. when I'm doing this podcast.
Yeah.
And I'm staring down, and it's a little weird.
Yeah.
I can't do that.
Now, when we record the podcast, you can tell me. This is confidential between you and me.
Yeah, no one will ever hear this.
Do you do anything else like on your computer while we're recording?
No, because I'll get distracted
a
little bit if I do that. I'll sometimes I'll see if I have any notifications on Twitter, but I usually don't. So
nobody loves me.
Yeah, so I don't usually. Why do you do that?
I only play Overwatch. That's the only thing I do while we're recording the podcast.
The only thing you do is play Overwatch hold on. Let's talk about that for a second. You must be playing a boring character or something.
Yeah, Lucio. The worst.
Lucio? All you're doing is just hitting the floor.
Yeah, it's so bad.
You're only using his special ability.
So yeah, it's awful. No, I don't do anything. I have like a web browser up in case I want to like do a quick like fact check. But like even that I don't do because A, it introduces all the keyboard noise. Clack, 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 clack. And
wait, what was that again? How do keyboards sound?
Chip, 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 chip.
Wait, that sounded a little different. What different switches on those? Or oh, those are brown. Yeah, those were definitely brown.
Those, yeah. You got those cherry MX browns. A little bit bushier.
Oh, wow, that was great. Do you think there's people? There should be a keyboard impersonator that can.
Oh, there probably is. It's the internet.
No, you think there's someone who impersonates keyboard clicks?
I wanted to like actually type that up. Right. Speaking of looking
back checks,
exactly. Speaking of looking up stuff, no, but I can't. It gets too distracting. Which is weird, like, if I were to talk on the phone with someone, I always have to be, like, pacing around and doing other stuff. But, like, for some reason, the podcast gets all of my attention.
Yeah.
So, feel honored.
I'm very, very honored to have your full and undivided attention.
You guys, I can actually tell because I can look into his eyes.
I know.
And, like, the sarcasm, it can't escape you.
Yeah, it's weird to talk in person on...
Yeah.
It's just so different.
It is very different, because I think at least the different thing for me, maybe you'll think otherwise
differently,
but maybe you'll think differently. The different thing for me is, like, even though I know what you look like because I've seen you stream, like, it stills, like, when we record the podcast, you're like a disembodied voice. Is that the right word?
No, it's true. It's the same thing for me. Yeah.
So it's like, it's just like, you're like, it's a skanky podcast voice. It's not like skanky the person. So that's what makes it a little bit weird, I think.
Well, we connect, like, all we're thinking about is the voice of the other person. Like, well, that's all we're listening to. It's not like we're paying attention to anything else. But now that we're sitting, we're putting the voice with the person, and everything is being connected, and it's strange.
I have to pay a lot of attention to you during, I think I've listened. You are probably the number one person I've, like, paid the most attention to what they're saying because of the podcast.
Ever?
Ever. Like, okay. When you go to class, like, and you sit in, like, lecture, like, you don't give it your full attention. It doesn't need your full attention, right?
Yeah.
You, like, zone in and you zone out. And, like, if you're talking with, like, another human being at, like, dinner, it's like, I'm listening, but I'm also thinking how delicious this food is.
Mm.
Like, with the podcast, I'm like, he could stop talking and need me to say anything at any minute right now. And so I better A, know what I have to say.
Yeah.
And B, like, actually get it in on cue.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you're always thinking ahead during a podcast, too, because you're trying to figure out what you're going to talk about.
Oh, yeah, that too. Exactly.
What's, like, what's happening.
Yeah.
You know, in life.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Wow.
We literally just hugged it out right now.
We just had a huge hug on the podcast.
Exactly.
I'm so glad you guys could see that.
Yes. Paint them a word picture. It's the podcast is like theater of the mind or something.
Well, me and M. Cole, we're sitting next to one another.
Exactly.
Not wearing pants.
Why would you?
And we have a beautiful view of Boston.
Oh, we do. It's gorgeous.
Yep, it's really nice and it's not dark at all.
It's the middle of the morning.
Definitely the middle of the morning. This is being recorded at 6:30 a.m. And we just came back from a run. 14 miles.
Oh, yeah, it was a tough one.
I'm still sweating a little bit.
Yeah.
But it was easy.
We were really dedicated, though. There was a lot of wind, so we had to run into it. Like, so it was probably, with the wind factored in, it was like 18 miles.
Definitely. And it is 1 degree outside, but that part's not a joke.
That one is 100% true. It is really freaking cold outside.
Very cold. It's freezing. It is freezing in Boston.
Yeah, we had people with us when we were leaving to, like, go record the podcast, and when then they found out that we had to go outside, they all said no.
everyone just didn't want to.
We just kind of like, took off.
And I kind of understood what they were coming from.
I did too, because I almost didn't want to record the podcast.
I'm called this one. Never wants to record.
I really wanted to be like, can you go get your stuff and come back here? like no, man, I'm just gonna wait where it's warm.
Honestly, I wouldn't have doubted you.
Oh, I wish I had known this before.
Sorry. Like,
you could have told me. No.
I'm sorry.
Walked over a bridge and there was water.
Two bridges. If you really
it's all blur now. It's all a blur.
Dig in there.
I can't remember.
So, M-Call, how are you liking PAX East so far? It's your first PAX East ever.
It is my first PAX East. I'm loving it. I really am loving it. I will be back next year. I went to PAX South in January and then PAX East now. And they're very different conventions, it feels like, just because of the size, right? They have all the same stuff, but you have different people at each one, and they're different sizes. And PAX East is significantly bigger than PAX South. So you get more of the exhibits, like, on the floor and stuff like that. But I really do love it. I do. It's like almost all my favorite people are here. Okay, granted, half of my favorite people are here.
So there's the other people we just hate.
Exactly. Yes.
Whoever's not a PAX East, I'm called, hey, it's confirmed.
No, that's what I'm saying. Half of my favorite people. You got a pool of like a number of people.
Of course.
And half of them are here, and the other half decided they didn't want to come because they don't want to hang out with us.
Because they don't
want to
see you.
Or you.
No, they all want to see me.
Then why aren't they here?
They're a little busy.
Oh, I see what it is.
For you, though, it's the opposite.
Exactly. But so this is your second PAX East.
Yeah, it is.
How do you like it?
I think it's pretty great.
Better than last year or worse than last year?
It's different. It's a different... They're always good from my perspective so far. I've only been to two. So both of them have been great.
Mm-hmm.
I put focus in different things this year.
Yeah.
Last year, it was kind of my first PAX, so I was trying to like figure out what was going on. Mm-hmm. It was pretty overwhelming because there was like a lot of different things all happening at once. I was trying to fit stuff in that I didn't really know what was going on. And this year was like, okay, I'm going to plan a little bit more and then have those plans fail and then try to make it up.
Yeah.
But it went fine. It's okay. It's fine. It's fun. It's video games.
It is video games.
Lots of video games.
What did you do differently this year compared to last year? Like, if you were to look at like PAX 2016, PAX East 2016, PAX East 2017, what has changed and what's kind of stayed the same for you personally? Like, what you did?
I think I spent a little bit more. Both times I spent on the showroom floor a lot of time because I think that might be my favorite part is just walking around and looking at things or like getting things and just like. I don't know. That's my favorite part, I think. And I spent a lot more time in the indie booth.
Mm-hmm.
All like the last year, I did not look at like one indie game. Mm-hmm. I think I didn't even like really look through there because it wasn't my interest at that point in time.
Yeah.
But over the past year, like my interest in indie games has skyrocketed a little bit.
Yeah.
So I a lot of those games I was checking out this year, and then seeing people.
Mm-hmm.
That was the new addition of this year, and I didn't really do that last year. So, because I didn't have one last year.
Yeah.
So, it's a change.
Yeah. Everyone that you saw at PAX East last year, you had known from previously, like already like in your life.
Yeah.
And then this year, you met quite a few new people.
Yeah. Yeah. A few.
Confidential.
No one will ever hear this.
Who is your favorite person you met at PAX East?
Oh, easy, Joe.
I knew it.
Joe is a sweetheart.
He is.
He is a sweetheart. All I want to do is rub his bald head all day.
Oh, you have to. That's how you get magic.
In the most sensual way.
Oh, I do it for magic.
Oh.
I thought.
So who's your favorite person?
Anyways, so speaking of favorites, with the indie booth, did you have a favorite game that you saw?
I had a couple of favorite games that I saw at the indie booths. I'm kind of being put on the spot. I don't remember.
It was easy. No problem answering who your favorite person was. But if I ask you about a game, now you've been put on the spot.
Okay, there was a couple of games. Beat Cop was a super fun game. Really cool. Kind of side-scroller-y. And you play like a cop and you have to give people tickets and make a certain amount of money by the end of the day and stuff. That was a really fun game that not a lot of people were like looking around for a bit. So that was kind of sweet. I also liked, I kind of want to get my, hold on. Pause the podcast here.
Pause it.
All right. We're back.
You know, before you answer about what your other favorite indie games were, is I cannot wait till like Shenantics is like number one podcast on iTunes Store and we can hire an editor.
You can't wait for that? I cannot wait for us to be able to do that.
Please go rate and review on the iTunes Store. It's very important.
Beautiful podcast that we're giving you high quality audio this episode.
Exactly. It's going to be great. So what other indie games do you like?
So I picked up Cards, all like the different games. I've never been to PAX before. They have different like cards, you talk to developers and stuff, and it's really cool. Number one interesting game was We Are Chicago. MCall knows everything about this game, being from Chicago. MCall, you like to explain this game to us a little bit?
They actually teach it to you in elementary school.
They do.
Actually, I didn't even stop by the We Are Chicago, whatever it was. We Love Chicago, We Are Chicago.
We are Chicago.
I actually didn't stop by that one. I walked past it, and I don't know why. I didn't even stop in on that booth for some reason.
I think I might go check it out tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But so I can read the little description. Okay. A little audible. By the way, this podcast... No,
don't say the... Don't give them free advertising.
Free advertising. Okay, as if the stress of graduating next week it wasn't enough, one of my best friends is nowhere to be found. A gangster threatened me at school. My best friends disappeared in the shootings on our block like the only... That is just not a correct sentence that they put on here. I need to discover what's going on before it's too late. This block, my friends, my family, we all need to stick together and do the best we can to keep each other safe. And look out for one another. We are in this together. Hashtag We Are Chicago. Now, they don't have a hashtag on there. I just made that up. But I don't know. They should use that.
They should use that.
I don't know. It looks kind of interesting. They have VR in it as well.
Oh, really cool.
That I didn't know. That some guy was playing VR. And it looked kind of sweet. Mm-hmm. And pretty much, you play like a kid in Chicago. And I guess someone dies. And you got to figure out what the hell's going on.
Yeah. That actually sounds really, really cool.
It looked kind of sweet.
Now, did you get a chance to talk to either the developer or the representative, anyone that was in the booth?
Not at We Are Chicago, no.
Okay. So, for those guys that don't know, when you go into the indie booth area, and a lot of the booths, but especially the indie booth area, they usually either have the developers or some other representative of the game there that you can ask questions about. So that's one really cool thing, at least for, it's a cool thing in general, but I think it's a really cool thing for people, that are Twitch streamers, like me and Skanky, because if we have questions about the game, we can kind of figure out the information we would want to know if we were going to be streaming it. And one of the things, the reason I ask is because one of the things I found myself asking a lot of the developers was about how many hours their game was. Is just because it's not, and I think a lot of them were looking at it like I was making a value decision on whether or not to purchase it. Like, does it have tons of hours I can sink money into? But my thing is, I was kind of thinking about in my schedule, if I were going to stream it, how many days of stream does it take up? Right. So if they tell me it's 6 hours, I'm like, okay, it's only 2 days. That might even be a benefit. For them, we don't want to tell them it's only 6 hours of content. But if it's a nice 6 hour story based game, that's great. I played Gone Home this past week, and that was 2.5 to 3 hours. And I love that game.
Perfect stream game. Yeah.
So that's one nice thing is that when you get to meet them. And the reason I ask is that game sounds like, based on what it is my guess is probably a 4 hour game. I would think maybe 6.
Maybe.
So.
Yeah, it seems to me from it could be a little bit of a shorter game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not expecting 12 hours.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, exactly.
From We Are Chicago.
Yeah.
But I never actually thought about games before in how many hours to play before being a streamer.
Mm-hmm.
And then once. We also don't like the word streamer. Broadcaster.
Yes.
Professional broadcaster.
Yes, let's use the words that we want the other people to use.
Sorry. I never thought about that, but now it's I asked the guy for another game, which I'll talk about in a second, called Crossing Souls.
Mm-hmm.
How long his game was, and he was kind of like, wait, what?
Yeah.
I said, how long is the game in total? Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, well, maybe 7 hours, but... it could be longer depending on who you talk to and stuff in the game.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay, interesting. It's, I don't know. This seems to be a surprising thing to ask.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think the second thing is also a lot of these are still in development. So they have no clue really.
Yeah.
Or they might have a rough estimate, but they don't want to say that one. And then now imagine that you're a developer, right? And you are you don't build the game beginning to end, right? You kind of put in certain parts, maybe Stardew Valley, a great one is that when he was developing it, he did certain parts of it, right? The game wasn't all together at one point where it's okay, it's gonna have this many hours of content. And Stardew Valley doesn't really have that anyways because it's kind of unlimited to an extent. And so they might not have had a point where they've really played it beginning to end. Right, or if they do, they kind of know how the game goes, so it's kind of harder for them to get a gauge of it.
True.
Yeah.
But the indie section is pretty much, imagine a kid in a candy store, mm-hmm, who can't get any of the candy.
Yes.
It's all locked down by giant.
There's giant locks on everything because the game's not going to be released for another lot of months.
Yeah. Yep.
For a while, so that kind of sucks.
Yeah. No, that does suck.
It's fun, but Crossing Souls.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting game. The guy was talking about how it's kind of like the Goonies, and you walk around with your friends trying to solve a murder, and you pick up clues along the way, and you can play as all the different characters in the game. It kind of has like an 8-bit kind of feel, SNES type of deal.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked really, really cool. It was also kind of like almost a side-scroller, but with like a like kind of 3D map. I don't know. It's kind of confusing mm-hmm. to explain, but it was mm-hmm. very, very, very interesting.
Yeah.
Would recommend
yeah.
to people to check out. Nice guy, too. Mm-hmm. Nice guy at the booth.
Yeah.
Oh, love
yeah.
him. Love him. What else do I have? What other ones? Oh, this one was real cool. What Remains of Edith Finch? Did you see that one? No.
No, I feel like you saw a completely different game. Other than We Are Chicago, I don't think I saw any of these ones.
Oh, really?
Which is great, though.
That's good, yeah.
Because then I can watch your stream and then be like, this is amazing, and I want to play it.
Exactly.
So I'm not...
Copy me. And then
exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's what most of my stream is anyways. That's why you started first. No, I got a good list of games, but those ones, none of these ones have been on it so far.
Okay. So What Remains of Edith Finch is like... It looks like a mystery horror game mm-hmm. where... so this one says... wait, wasn't there like a description? Okay. What Remains of Edith Finch is a collection of short stories about a cursed family. Cursed family in Washington State. Each story offers a chance to experience the life of a different family member, which stories range from the early 1900s to present day. So it was like a giant house.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I watched of the person playing, you can go into different doors within the house to become a person.
Oh, okay.
In the story. And then see like what happened in their life, and I guess they all end up dying at the end. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming, yeah. But it seemed like a very cool game. Beautiful graphics,
mm-hmm.
beautiful graphics. And then another cool one was called Paddle Box.
Okay.
And it was black and white,
mm-hmm.
and you play like a boxer who's a duck.
Interesting.
It's so stupid to explain, but it was really cool looking. And the thing they gave me looked like a ticket to a boxing match.
Oh,
which
nice. That is really, really cool.
Really sick.
Yeah, I like that.
But yeah, it's like, I guess you do different boxing fights or something. It's mm-hmm. like a black and white duck. I don't know. Yeah. That was kind of sweet, though. And then what other one did I really like? I think that's really kind of all the ones that stood out to me,
mm-hmm.
or that I got cards from that like looked cool. Oh, and Think of the Children was really cool. I didn't mm-hmm. get a card from the guy, but he talked to me about the game, and it's like you have to save children. You have to like try to make the children not die mm-hmm. that you're taking care of as a parent.
Yeah,
and they can drink bleach, and they can jump off things, and they're gonna have Twitch integration where you can name the kids after people in your chat. Which I am very excited to name
it's
some of the
be
children
great.
After Irish.
It's going to be great. Please use his proper name, The Oracle.
Our blessed savior, The Oracle, Teddy.
Now, the one with the children one, it's kind of, I find that interesting. That's one thing I find interesting about games and like simulation games, like even though it may not be simulation, but like that is also applies to it, is that there's a lot of things I'd never want to do in real life, but like I'd play the game. Like I really don't want to take care of kids.
Yeah.
Like the idea of like having to watch children and be like, don't drink bleach, don't do this stuff. I'm like, I never want to do that in real life. I'm like, I'd totally play that game.
Why is that?
I don't know. Because the same thing happens with The Sims too. Like, I mean, it's a little bit different, but like, I don't know, it's like The Sims, you're basically doing a whole bunch of stuff that people like, that's kind of like boring micromanaging, but I just find it so like thrilling.
Yeah.
And I don't know, there's just, and if you do like Visera cleanup, right? Like
you don't want to clean up.
No one wants to go mop up an entire damn place. Like
for some reason in a video game it makes it interesting.
So no, yeah, I've always thought that was crazy. I thought that was kind of it's really interesting how it does it. So but yeah, no, I love the indie booth area. I think it was my favorite part.
Yeah, so what games did you...
I mean, I got a ton. I can't really pick a favorite one. I, because, like, I... So,
I love the area because, it, like you said, it's like a kid in a candy shop. And you walk around and like you kind of like get pulled into certain ones and then you sit there. And I didn't want to play any of them. Right. I didn't want to actually, because they actually have demos almost in every single booth where like you can sit down and play it. But I would rather be watching someone else playing it and kind of just kind of take it in from there for two reasons. First of all, I don't want to spend that much time in each booth because I have a lot I need to be doing.
Yeah.
Like I can't go spend.
Michael's so popular.
You know, but even just booth wise, there's like 50 booths. Right. Oh, yeah. So if you spend like 10 minutes on each one, you're now at like 500 minutes, which is like a lot of hours.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
and the developers are just, you know, dragging MCall everywhere.
They
just
exactly. Want to play the games. Please,
and, please. And, you know, there's a paparazzo. Don't even want to talk about that situation.
Oh, exactly.
Are you going to pay for that guy's broken nose that you put in
your
face?
No, or? He deserved it. He earned that all broken right. nose. But no, there was a lot of cool ones. And I actually saw one. And as I was like, me and Tiny were walking away. I'm like, I think I own that game. She's like, you do own that game. I was like, we're playing it when we get home.
What game was it?
It's the something about caterpillars in the name.
Oh, like, I think I saw that one.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm pretty sure, I know I bought that game.
Uh-huh.
I was excited to play it. But then like, actually after talking to the developer, I'm like even more excited to play that game.
Yeah.
I mean, and like there's a few that like really stuck out. Like Night in the Woods looked really, really cool to me. I can't even really describe what like anything, so I don't have the cards. So I have
Do you remember Night in the Woods? I didn't see that one.
Like one like the far like the rightish corner, one of the first rows. We might have been like a completely different indie booth area.
Because there was an indie booth area that I was going through, and then I went to a different one, and I was like, wait, I have not seen any of these games before.
Yeah,
and I thought I went through the entire indie booth section.
Yeah, no, like
what's that one about? Do you remember?
No, I don't remember exactly. Okay. I just remember it looked really cool. It was like a 2D kind of platformery, but there was like other stuff to it. Like, and so Overland, it looked kind of like an XCOM-y style puzzle type game to me. That one looked fun. Let me see. This one looked really cool. It's called Buck. It's a side scroller. Kind of like action adventure game, but it's the way he described it. It's very heavy. Like you play as a dog that's kind of like a detective type thing. So like up on two legs, and you walk through it, and you fight monsters and stuff. But he says it's not just like a shoot 'em up game, right? You don't just go through trying to plow through everyone that you see and just like shoot, you know, destroy them all. It actually takes a skill of like, okay, I approached these two or three guys, what is the best way to take them out with the weapons I have and stuff like that? And one thing it does is you're severely limited on ammo, so you can't just go shoot everyone because then you have no ammo for the next section and stuff like that. And apparently they said that there's like a deep story to it and stuff like that. One thing that, now just saying that, made me like, that makes me hesitant when you talk to them is like, A, it's their passion project. Like they actually care about it. I mean, unless they're not a good developer, but they're also trying to sell it to you. Like someone like, oh, it's got this deep, rich story. And I'm like, I've also played games that should have a deep, rich story. And you get like halfway through and you're like, oh God. Yeah. I'm not a big fan of that one. That was seemed kind of like very shallow, or was very skin deep, like at like how much story we actually got with it.
Yeah.
So a lot of it also like kind of remains to be seen about what they are. But like, those are a few that like really stuck out in my head. There's a lot of puzzly type games that I did. Like, to give you an idea of what my notes are kind of like, I mean, when I said XCOM style puzzle game for another one. Oh, Songbringer looked really, really cool. That was it looks like the Sword and Sorcery. Have you ever heard of that game?
No.
All right, well, it's a cool game. It's been out for a while now, but it has a very kind of distinct art style, I would say.
Uh-huh.
And this, they kind of really, really, you know, match a lot of it. And then they had like, it was like a procedurally generated type Zelda dungeon type thing.
Interesting.
And they also have want to get to really get into the speed running type area, because they would be like, the idea is like, okay, with Seed Banana or Seed Skanky or whatever like that, like who can get through how fast, and like there's like different pathing you can take through each one, and be like, okay, let's see who can do this seed of that game in whatever time it is, and like stuff like that. And so
I think I saw that game.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure I did. Yeah,
that one looked really, really cool. But like a lot of these games, like that one, well, like when you say when's it coming out, is it already released? Well, it's coming out summer 2017.
Yeah.
Great, that doesn't really help me right now.
Far.
Yeah, so that's one thing that does kind of suck with it, like going through the indie game area. But yeah, like I got tons. like action adventure puzzle solving like Zelda, lots of exploration, available early next year. Like that's how like I describe these as I'm going through, because I want to like another one, like multiplayer RTS style game with like 16-bit graphics, 2017 release. So that's kind of how I describe like to myself, so I can kind of remember a little bit, because like right now I can visualize what all those games are that I just said, so that'll help me find it later. But one thing I will say that the indie booth did for me is I really want to try and change up something with my stream. I want to fit more indie games in, and as a trial type thingy, like, not as like a trial, how do I want to say this? I want to fit them in because A, I want to play them. I want to kind of experience like this other world of games that A, might not have that many viewers watching it, or like, it's just like, it's not a game I necessarily would normally play. Also, if it doesn't have a ton of hours, it's not like I have a month worth of content of playing whatever this game is, right? Yeah. Like, it's only a few days, and so I'm trying to think about either fitting in like doing one day a week where I just play indie games. Almost kind of like Lyrics, like Sub Sunday, where like he lets subs pick, like, here, try out these different games. Like, I wouldn't necessarily do that, but like, say I have a day where I just be like, here, I want to try out this game. And then can kind of do two things, right? It can, A, expose people to new content they've never seen, and B, can kind of use it as a review type thing. Like, oh, I want to find new games to play that aren't $60 AAA titles, and like, they can come to, you know, my stream on, like, let's say I do it Sunday, come to my stream on Sunday and just hang out for 3 hours, and we'll see, is this game any good? And then if you maybe want to go put it on your wish list and get it when it's on sale. So I was thinking about some way to do it, or maybe doing like the last week of every month, we just kind of play through those kind of games. But I don't know, it's something I want to do because there's so many cool things out there, and they might be duds when you actually do play them, right? And so, it's not like that's all just like hidden diamonds in the rough. Like, there's going to be a lot of bad stuff that, or stuff that just never comes out, right? Like, of this list I have, who knows? Like, or they come out half finished. And I heard a lot of, you know, we're releasing in 2 months in early release. Like, I really want to be like, here's a, have you listened to Shenantics episode, whatever episode that was? Like, oh, God, we're talking about the early access stuff. So, I don't know. It was a really, really cool area of PAX. I think it was one of my favorite things about PAX East. So, and that's a big difference between East and South. South doesn't have as much on the exhibit floor because of the smaller con. Yeah. So, like, they had an indie game section, but it wasn't anywhere near what it was like at East. So that was one thing I really enjoyed going this weekend. Was that.
So now you're going to do Saturday 12-hour streams, all indie games, right?
I think that would be, honestly, like, not every Saturday, but, like, if it was, like, the last Saturday of the month is 12-hour indie game stream, I think it would be a cool thing. And then it gives us enough time to kind of either play through one game or set up a whole bunch of different ones to try and stuff like that.
I'm going to trademark that.
Yeah. Doing it right now, you guys. I'm
typing up that trademark application.
Now that we're this, I'm diving over the table and knocking the computer out of his hand.
Get out of here.
Exactly. It's, oh man. But no, yeah. So it's, that was really, really cool. But I mean, my second favorite thing is, I, like we talked last time, is I love tabletop games. Yeah. And so just being able to play that, Joe's friends were also here that he's known for a while now, and they are big tabletop people. And so, like, just playing with them, they brought a few with them, like, of their own games. And then also, like we talked about last time, there's a big free play area where PAX just has tons of different games, and multiple copies of them, and you just check one out and play it for hours. And so we played this game called Zombicide. It was awesome. It was like being in a, like, zombie horror movie is what it felt like.
Really?
Yeah, like, you start off and, like, each of you have your own person, and it's like you are a person in a zombie survival movie, and the zombies there, and they spawn, like, every turn, new ones spawn into the map and stuff, and, like, you have to, like, kill the zombies and get to, like, certain objectives and stuff, and then each time you play, like, it has a book full of, like, kind of scenarios, and so, like, a different board each time you play, and so that way it's not like you're always playing the same thing. And then one thing I love about tabletop games that we didn't talk about last time is a lot of them have just tons of expansions. And so, for example, let's just use Catan as the example, is that if you play Catan, let's say you and your friends have played 40 hours, 50 hours, or 100 hours of Catan, you might be getting a little bit tired of the base rule set. Well, Catan also has, like, 4 expansions, and, like, you can go buy the Seafarers expansion, which just kind of changes up the entire way the game is. You have basic Catan rules, but, like, it's just different enough that, like, you get, like, a little bit of, like, fresh stuff into it. And so Zombicide apparently has a ton of expansions also. So, like, I think that'd just be cool, like, to kind of, you know, you get in on and just play, like, the zombie. It's also cooperative, right? Like, yeah. So it's not like, well, some games it's like, if we're paying against each other, that's not like it ruins friendships, but at the end it's like, oh, god damn it, he freaking won again type thing. Nice thing is when you're playing together, you got, like, you're strategizing and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And, of course, the very first thing I did is I was like, the movie, it's almost like the movie opened up, scene starts, and I say, all right, guys, let's split up. And I'm like, now I know why every flipping horror movie, they split up, because it seems like an amazing idea. And then hindsight, you're like, never should have done that. So, but yeah, it was just, and then it's just funny over the table, and everyone's like giving me shit, like, you said to split
you
up.
Idiot.
You were almost dead. You're stuck in, like, a room with six zombies. We have to go save you. So it's, you just get great fun times like that.
That's fun.
So we guys. It's been a blast.
How do you know if there's a big market for people looking for tabletop games on Twitch?
Oh, I don't know.
You know, because I think it's a thing, but no one talks about it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that'd be a cool thing to break into. I think it has two problems though. I think it'd be really, really cool to do, but like first is the trouble with tabletop gaming in general is that you have to find the people that are physically located close to you to do it, right? Like multiplayer online games, I can find people to play that like all the time because I have enough friends over the like around the globe that there's at least one or two people that are willing to play with me. But playing in you have to find a play in person. But the second thing is that tabletop games also kind of have they last a long time. Like, it can go for a couple hours, but also has, like, downtime. It has kind of, like, lulls in it.
Yeah.
So, one good thing is, I believe it was Will Wheaton with Geek and Sundry had a tabletop show that they, like, it's on YouTube, and it's probably, I think they're, like, 15 to 20 minutes long, maybe 30, but they edit, like, the four-hour thing down to just being, like, the action points.
Oh, okay.
And, like, the learning points, because it's also supposed to be used to, like, kind of help people learn the game. And so, like, they put it in, so it's only when things are really happening, and then also where it's, like, something unique happens where it's, like, you need to know that rule.
Interesting.
So I'm not sure it would work well with the Twitch broadcasting, but I think it'd be a cool thing to try.
Yeah, so, a little different.
Yeah. One thing that also kind of, I think that's hard with it is with, like, I don't think it's as fun for chat. Because it's like,
not much interaction, really.
Exactly. It's kind of like what we talked about last week with the, like, streaming with other people, mm-hmm. right? Like, it's almost like chat is now looking in and watching other people hang out, right? Because now you have four or five people playing a tabletop game, right? And, like, and also, like, the hard thing is when you get a group together, who's the one that's responding to chat? Right, like, you can't really have four people all responding to, like, what other people say. You know what I mean? So, yeah. Like, even, like, when you and I stream, like, I pretty much watch my chat. Like, I usually have your chat open just to kind of see what's going on. But I really only read my chat and don't respond to your chat because, like, that's kind of annoying to always have two people respond to everything that everyone says.
Yeah, it's hard.
I think that would be fun. That kind of goes along with the, like the other thing we said last week.
Yeah, even if you don't have to do it like all the time, you know,
mm-hmm.
like have a once a month
tabletop
stream. If you have friends that want to do it, you know, a lot of us don't have friends.
The look you just gave me, like, if you have friends, I'm calling.
Gosh, I don't know.
Everyone just moved to Chicago.
We are Chicago.
I'd be down to that if I found people. Also, I don't know about you, but I feel like the people I do know, like in real life, not all of them are like down to be on stream.
Yeah.
Like, because I have other games. Also, like talking about the indie games, like I have multiplayer, like local multiplayer games that I really want to play. I really want to stream. But that means I have to find someone that's willing to do it, and B is willing to be on stream.
Yeah.
For like whatever that period of time is. So some people get camera shy. Which sometimes you don't notice when you stream with a face cam and record a podcast and are so used to, like, I'm so used to the sound of my own voice now.
Like, we're pretty used to it now.
Exactly. So I've, like, been desensitized to it. And so, like, I don't always think about those things.
Why?
Yeah.
I don't.
Like, why do you now want people to watch you?
Every move that you make.
Exactly.
Every step you take.
And everything you say. Like,
I'm just watching. Gosh,
New York.
Oh, he's been singing this all weekend. And it's offensive. I'm offended.
Because you're in the concrete jungle? Is that why?
Oh my god.
But yeah, all weekend I've been singing that, which is, I'm going to say, the third best thing about PAX. Right.
Singing songs?
No, hanging out with people, so that now you could look back and you'd be like, remember I was at PAX East and I really wanted to like strangle M. Cole and Joe because they would not stop singing? You get that aspect, which we don't, like, we have all the things that we love about hanging out online, but you don't get like necessarily all these ones, right? Yeah. You get these weird group dynamic type stuff. But
yeah.
So it's been like, so I don't know if you know this, since we didn't room together.
We did not.
So there's a select group of people that now know this, but I snore when I sleep.
Oh,
so
loud.
I don't know. So I woke up yesterday, and Tiny and Joe were there, and then today and Hyrule was there, and it was just like, you know, you snore. And I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry about that. They're like, oh no, don't be sorry, it's not like enough that like it kept us awake, but like they said, Tiny goes, my favorite one is like you kind of like whistle like, as you snore. So you get these weird stories about like,
weird whistles.
Stuff. Yeah, exactly.
Whistle snores. Yeah, great band name.
But then, like, the second thing about me is that I fall asleep like as soon as I lay down in bed. Like, it's not even like 5 minutes.
So, really?
Yeah. After they told me about the like snoring thing, they're like, we kind of hate you because like you literally got in bed and were like, hey, uncle, and you were already asleep. So it's like you get, like I said, so you get these crazy like stories from real life when you get to hang out with people that you're friends with.
Yeah, it's weird. You don't even see that aspect of people.
Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah. It's you get cool stories like that, especially when you, like, I don't think anyone is ever like, I'm going to plan a trip and I really want a room with four people. Like, I don't think anyone has ever said that in the history of saying things. But it turns out fun. It's like, it's a good time.
It's experience.
Yeah, like, it felt like camp.
Felt like camp.
It did. Like, we all go back up and, like, we're not ready to go to bed yet because we want to keep hanging out. So we, like, threw on some, like, Always Sunny on Netflix.
Oh,
just, like,
man, I love it.
Right? It was a really good time.
I hate It's Always Sunny. I hate the soundtrack, too.
That always plays at the beginning of your stream.
Someone forces that on.
Oh, yeah, I know.
It just automatically plays when
It's because you have the executive producer, right? She actually pulls the string.
Yeah.
You're just the talent. Exactly. You don't get to control the soundtrack.
I don't control anything. Yeah. The executive producer does that.
Exactly. So... But yeah, no. So it was a blast. It was a good time. Plus, I just love seeing. I love seeing everybody.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's the best part.
Yeah.
I love meeting people, hanging out with people. Mm-hmm. It's great.
Yeah.
It's different.
It is different.
It's a weird experience.
Yeah. It's a nice change of pace sometimes.
Yeah.
So I mean, and one of the really cool things is that. And it's hard to, like, people that don't understand the internet, or, like, at least, like, making friends on the internet, don't really get this. But, like, you kind of, like, you might have, like, an awkward, like, 10 seconds at the beginning, but then you instantly get, like, into stride, because it's, like, A, you probably have talked this week anyways, and hung out this week. And so it's, like, a just continuation of that, right? Like,
yeah.
It's just, I don't know, it's just kind of, like... It feels like you're just hanging out with your friends, right?
Exactly.
Like, as if you had to invite them over for dinner or anything like that, so... It's kind of... Cool.
No, yeah, it is.
Even for like antisocial geeks and nerds.
it's somehow good.
Yeah, everyone.
We can all be antisocial together?
I guess so, yeah.
Is that a thing?
Maybe.
Antisocial Together, guys, my new book coming out this summer. Please check it out. Ebook.
I kind of want to write this book.
Antisocial Together?
Yeah.
That's a great name for a book.
That is a great name.
Why am I so good at coming up with names of things?
I don't know.
I should retire that, yeah. I think. Something I'm too good at.
I think, you know, there are you can actually make money by doing that. Like Xerox.
What?
Yeah, Xerox, the company, got its name, I'm 90% sure, got its name from an outside company that is literally just paid to make up names for people.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So you can basically just sit around and make up names all day.
I should do that.
Yeah, and then you just sell it off to people.
When I was doing YouTube, I used to come up with names for my series and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They were always bomb.
Nice.
I had Skirmishes with Skanky,
nice.
Which is where I played AoE 3 Skirmishes,
nice.
With Skanky. And that was a great series. Oh, man, loved it.
Yeah.
Loved it. Loved the name. It's a great name.
Why did you stop doing YouTube?
I got busy.
Mm-hmm.
College came, and I didn't really feel like... doing it anymore. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't necessarily I didn't feel like doing it anymore. I was self-conscious about doing it.
Okay.
A little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I started YouTube in the commentary, no webcam, no anything, mm-hmm. just kind of Let's Play style
yeah.
time, where that was super duper popular. And you would sit down and, like, record a whole session out. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I was kind of self-conscious about doing that, like, around people, especially in college. It's, like, always around people.
Yeah.
So it kind of, like, died off a little bit. And then I tried to bring it back a little bit under a new channel that did, like, relatively okay. But, like, mm-hmm. I was trying to be consistent. I was trying to do, like, streaming with it, which never worked out. And then yeah. I tried to, like, do, like, everyday upload type of thing.
Oh, my goodness.
Which is... impossible.
It's not just hard, it literally is impossible.
It's literally impossible for yeah. someone, like, if you want to do YouTube every single day, it's you kind of have to do it like your job.
Yeah,
because there's a lot of work and you have to plan it all out. Mm-hmm. You need to take a day off to edit things. Like, you have to, like, record a video, edit the one that's going to be posted today, post that one, mm-hmm. then do the same thing every single day for as long as you want to do YouTube. It's yeah. very stressful. And then if you want to stream on that, it's yeah. impossible. Which, I mean, that's something that I've been hearing a lot about recently from different streamers, deciding if they want to be full-time YouTubers or full-time streamers. Mm-hmm. Because doing part-time of both has been almost decreasing their growth
yeah.
in a way, because they're not putting their full attention on either one. Mm-hmm. And they're just, like, kind of slowly becoming the same. Like, they're not growing at all.
Yeah. You know? No. And one other thing that, like, in addition to the recording, editing, posting, and all that, is coming up with content ideas. Especially, like, if you're not doing a first-person shooter type thing, yeah, you do have some of the content that already kind of just writes itself, right? But you also kind of want to mix it up or show other stuff. But, like, imagine you're doing something like Minecraft. You have to come up with, what do I want to do with each video, right?
It's hard.
And so, if you're switching up games, if, let's say, you're doing variety of videos, like, what is the next game I want to play? And, like, even in the editing part, right? Like, when you edit for YouTube, you're making a creative decision on what are the best parts of that. So, like, even that, you're trying to be like, what do I want the video to show? Like, it just takes up a huge amount of energy, and splitting it between the two, like, that's just...
It's hard.
Yeah.
It's really difficult.
It's very, very tough.
And then you have people on YouTube who are kind of, like, popular on YouTube, grew on YouTube, mm-hmm. who never really got into the Twitch game.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, YouTube gaming kind of comes, and they're kind of deciding, planning streaming between the two. Like, I don't know. So the thing that I wanted to kind of bring up, related to YouTube gaming in a way, mm-hmm. was kind of, you know, Twitch is so big now at PAX, I would say. Like, they are a sponsor of PAX, it seems.
Yeah.
You know, it's their booth is huge, but YouTube is not on the scene.
No, not at all.
YouTube didn't have a booth. There's no YouTube gaming anywhere.
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of weird for YouTube being so big into mm-hmm. gaming. YouTube, like, not streamers, like, just video creators in general, creative mm-hmm. content people, all mostly started on YouTube and then moved to Twitch when live streaming became big,
yeah.
or Justin TV, whatever it is at the time. And YouTube doesn't even, like, seem to recognize that, besides YouTube gaming, which even people are like, if you're not big on YouTube, then I already have my Twitch. Why would I switch over? Type of situation.
Yeah. No. Exactly. Yeah. No. That is kind of crazy. Like, but there are also gonna be behind the scenes stuff that we don't know that goes on contract wise. So, like, maybe. But at the same. But I also, part of me just feels like, I mean, that's kind of Twitch's. It's kind of bred into, like, their DNA, right? They also came up, like, through the convention type stuff. Like, remember when they're a tiny company, like, they still kind of had some of a PAX presence. They start with, like, tiny booths, and then they are growing to have, like, the giant booths that they have now. I mean, they have their own convention now, like, they clearly, but before they even had TwitchCon, their own convention, like, they were growing up in the PAX scene type thing. So it's like, I feel like it, where
YouTube gaming was a afterthought or a side project compared to main YouTube of like, oh, let's do this live streaming thing, the things that people like. Well, now if you look at Twitch where it's like they were built for the live streaming, well, what's one thing to actually do with that is talk showy type stuff, which you can have a booth for. Mm-hmm. Or have a streamer come in and stream live from the show floor, like that type of stuff. And then also I think Twitch noticed pretty early on that you kind of have these celebrities on Twitch where like people are going to want to meet them. So let's try and get Twitch streamers that are big streamers here and available for people to meet for signings or whatever it is. I mean, at PAX South and East, it's not as crazy as it was with TwitchCon. Obviously, because TwitchCon is for people like Twitch.
Yeah.
But TwitchCon, like the lines for signing were just insane. Like it's just, it's crazy. Like,
because every partner's there.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's just. Yeah. It's, I don't know, it's just, it's, and so I think that might be part of the reasons that, that Twitch has such a big presence compared to YouTube. It's just that they kind of knew that they had to do that. Just like if you're, if you stream indie games, right, you kind of have to go somewhere where you can discover them, right? Yeah. And so it's like, and I think that's why the indie area has a thing in PAX, right? Like, that's also part of the reason why PAX was started for the consumer side of, like, finding games. But, like, also, if you're an indie gamer, you want to get it out like two other people, and so like that kind of naturally just happens and grows because that's how those two groups find each other.
Yeah.
So,
well, if Firewatch can have a booth, why can't YouTube Gaming?
But this, maybe they don't want a booth. I mean, also, you know, YouTube also has the benefit and curse of being like the dominant player in online video.
Yeah.
So true. For them, it's like, why do we need a booth? Yeah, like we don't need it, but people know YouTube exists.
That's
true. You know what I mean? So it's like they don't need it for the non-streaming side because where are people going to go watch the Let's Play videos?
Yeah.
Over at YouTube. So my guess is that might be part of the reason.
I watch my videos on vid.me.
Yeah.
The only video platform that I watch.
How does that go for you?
It doesn't go well.
You know? No. Have you ever considered streaming on not Twitch?
No, never. Okay. Sorry, that was very hard.
Like super serious.
Never. So I don't
want your vein popped out of the forehead a little bit.
See, this is the things that happen. No, so okay. I just know. The Twitch is like the only place I could see to build a community.
Mm-hmm.
Like YouTube only seems like YouTube only seems to be a place to stream if you already have an existing community.
Mm-hmm.
If you have subscribers that will come and watch your content.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, Twitch, like, it doesn't seem like you go on YouTube Gaming and you start at zero and then you grow or anything. Like, Twitch, like, that's what everyone does. You just start at zero and just go. Mm-hmm. You know, YouTube, I guess, maybe kind of came in a little late. But, like, I don't know, Beam?
That's the second one I was going to say. Is like, so, like, have you ever considered moving to Beam?
No. I haven't.
Have you ever heard from someone that has?
Yeah, I know someone that has gone to Beam.
Oh, yeah. Why? Yeah. Do you know the reasons why?
No, I don't really know why.
Okay.
I think Twitch sometimes puts a bad taste in people's mouths if they get a little frustrated with non-growth or, I don't know, sometimes, you know, people get, I mean, yeah, everyone gets frustrated when they don't grow, you know, on stream. And sometimes they put the blame on Twitch, sometimes they put the blame on themselves, and or just like people not finding them, the game they're playing. There's always a blame to put somewhere. So when people put a blame on Twitch, they're like, let's go somewhere else because there's other streaming platforms that I maybe be able to grow an audience on.
Mm-hmm.
And Beam is like kind of, I guess, small-ish for people to like start. But I've heard that Beam, most of the people on Beam are streamers. There's no viewers.
Really. Yeah.
So you're kind of like connecting, which is cool. You get to network with other people, but there's no one that like goes to Beam to really watch.
Yeah.
You know, it's all like, just other streamers who got, I guess, angry at Twitch and stream there.
It's, I think Beam might also, I don't know positively, but like might also have a better technical backend because Beam has no delay, like in their stream or like sub 1 second
delay. It's very, very small.
And so I've heard other people are like sometimes, and it's usually when they're, because of what you said, they're frustrated for a very number of reasons. It's either no growth or Twitch recently did something that they don't agree with, and like, oh, I want to go put my content elsewhere. And then they always say like, Beam has this like one second delay. And for me, like, I've always been like, okay, yeah, that's a true thing, but that for me, it's not been a reason to ever switch, right? Like, even in a pro con pile, like okay, yeah, I guess it's better that is the case, but I don't know, it just always seems like a kind of like a straw man argument, right? Like, yeah, I'm upset with Twitch, so now let me create a whole bunch of reasons of why I'm going to go over to Beam to do it.
Yeah.
But no, I agree with what you say. I wouldn't do it because one of the outrages last year when a lot of people were saying they were going to switch to Beam or tried out Beam for like a week, I couldn't do it because, like, you and I have said a billion times now, like, part of the reason why we love streaming is our community. Well, I'm never going to get my community over there, right? Like,
no one's going
to
Beam.
Yeah, no, exactly. And but why should they, like, or why should they even listen to me? Because they don't just watch me on Twitch, right? So now I'm going to say, and I realized this before, because, like, when everyone was talking about it, I'm thinking of, like, three people in my chat at that time, and I'm like, I know at least four other people that they watch. And so now I'm going to be like, yeah, you watch these four other people, but come switch this over their service for me. Like, yeah, that's not going to happen. It's just not. Even doesn't if they work. Watch it on Beam for a while, they're eventually going to get so irritated that, why don't you just be where all my, well, everyone else is, right? Yeah. And so it's like, it's just, it's not a starter. Like, I don't know. And I guess, like, you do have a chance of more exposure because there's like no one on it, right? So it's like there's less streamers, but
there's also no one on it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I think part of the hope is always like, if Beam makes it big and I was here for a while, then maybe I can ride the gravy train up. But
yeah, I guess it's a thought. But like, this is one of the other things, you know, when people get angry that they see other people growing, or they see like big streamers on Twitch, and they're like, oh, like, I have no chance at this. I mean, the big streamers is what, you know, it's, the big streamers are kind of what's going to make you partially grown away, yeah, because all the big streamers are on Twitch. They're not, yep, on Beam.
Exactly.
I mean, like, I don't even really go on Beam. I don't know, but like, yeah, they're not getting the same viewership that,
exactly,
big streamers on Twitch are getting.
Exactly.
And like, maybe Hitbox is doing a little better because that's where everyone who gets banned off Twitch goes
yeah,
to Hitbox.
I'm going to go put my shady content over here.
Put my shady content on Hitbox. But like, I mean, that's, yeah, the only reason that people go Hitbox is because they get banned off Twitch.
exactly.
I mean, there's like, I don't know. Twitch is like still the hub of live streaming. I think they live stream the most content.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. And 100%.
The big timers that are on there that have been doing this for years that are like dependent on the platform.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Twitch knows that.
Yeah.
And that's their, like, that's where they're making most of their money. So they're focusing all on that.
Yeah,
and
no, exactly.
They're going to make it easier. You know, they're going to try to make the platform better. And I don't, like, the delay is not a reason.
Yeah, exactly.
I play Stardew Valley for the graphics. Yeah, definitely. They're the best graphics.
Oh, okay. Every once in a while, speaking of that, I got like a little bit of a pet peeve, I guess. But like, sometimes, like, when I play Stardew Valley or Minecraft or something like that, like, people will jump in chat, and I'm talking regulars, I'm not talking like random trolls, or like jump in chat and be like, why are you playing this game with shitty graphics? I'm like, all right, come on.
Really?
Like, first of all, I like and appreciate those art styles. I think Stardew Valley is a great looking game.
It's a beautiful game.
Exactly. Yeah, it is not The Witcher 3. No shit. But that's not saying, like, that's like saying that like everything sucks unless it's watercolor. Like,
exactly. Like,
that is not, I don't know. So it's always kind of a peeve, because it's like a little bit of my pet peeve. I really want to be like, I'm like, you are lucky I know who you are.
Yeah,
or else it's like, bam, like, stop it. But
I'm trying to imagine Stardew Valley with Witcher 3 graphics.
Oh my god. I don't even think that'd be fun.
No, like, it'd be terrible.
Yeah,
it would
just, yeah. Anyways, but no, that's like
different discussion altogether, I guess.
Yeah, no, exactly. One thing about talking about big streamers, because you are absolutely right, like, big streamers are really the only reason that channels like you and I can ever get new followers, is because if they bring people into the Twitch service, we get the benefit of those people being like, we know Twitch is a thing. And so then they come over and they're like, oh, I like the game Stardew Valley, so let me go find people playing Stardew Valley.
Exactly.
Or something like that. Like, that is how anyone finds us. No one is ever coming because, hey, I think MCole might be on this service called Twitch, right? Like, that doesn't happen.
Yeah, it doesn't. Or that often.
All right, yeah, okay.
Because sometimes I will have someone who will come into chat and say, "For I don't know how this happens," but they'll come into chat and be like, "This is my first time on Twitch. What is this?"
Okay, yeah.
Without being trolling or like joking,
but
is interesting.
No, that is interesting. But also, the reason they got to Twitch, like you may be because
they heard about it from
and
Big Stream or something.
Exactly, and they knew about it because of Big Stream. They knew it because League of Legends is on there. Yeah, I mean, like even though they don't want to go watch that content, it's in their general consciousness of knowing that the thing exists because of the work of people that came before us. And that also happens where people will look at big streamers, and I'm talking like big, like OG streamers, like the ones that have been around since like Justin TV days or like very early on, and they're like, oh, I wish those people would, like, they have so many viewers, can't they just like throw the little guys a bone and stuff like that? And it's like, okay, I understand that as a small streamer being like, oh, I love a big streamer, like, you know, help me out a little bit, that'd be great. But at the same time, you got to look at it like a lot of those big OG streamers put in years of work, like like I think Dan's Gaming has been around since Justin TV days. Like, he put in a couple years work before he got to the where he is. Oh, and when he started, there was no sub button, right? So it can't be like, oh, Dan's Gaming's got it so easy. When he does Horror Month, he has 10,000 people watching. You know what I mean?
Like, oh,
it's like, it's like, great. He's there now. He's been working his butt off to get to where he is.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So it's a, I just, like, so sometimes when I see that, I get a little kind of, like, embarrassed for, like, the small streamer club that we're a part of. Be like, come on, you guys. Like, we work our butt off to get better. Like, we make friends and we help each other out and we scratch each other's back, and but like, this isn't a, us like small guys versus big guys, like
it really isn't. I think it's a bad
exactly,
I don't like that at all, because I like, think back, because like Summit, I think he was he's been doing this for so long, for like 4 years, 5 years or something, and he I remember he was like talking about how he was working at McDonald's while streaming, doing night streams and stuff. And like, he's been like working his ass off for so long doing this. Like, you're not just going to show up on Twitch and get 14,000 viewers, like, you know, no problem, you know. But, you know, like throwing the guys, little guys a bone, like they don't need to do that for us.
Exactly.
You know, like they don't, like, I'm like, like, I have business cards for PAX, but I'm not going to be going up to partner streamers and be like, hey, yo, you want to host me sometime? Like, that just, like, doesn't happen. Like, the, like, sometimes it'll happen. I remember going to a Summit stream once, and he's like, let's go find, like, a really small streamer to give this person, like, 20,000 viewers for a second. And I was like, wait a second. Like, if this happened to me, I would probably turn off the stream.
I know. I mean, it's almost like a curse. Like, that's even like a gift.
Wait, what? Yeah. Like, how did that happen?
Yeah.
And like, you know, like, I'm not saying I don't want that, but like, they don't need to do that. I mean, they, I'm sure that they grew, like, there's kind of like almost groups of people. They're not cliques, but they're like teams of people that all like became bigger on Twitch together as the platform grew.
Yeah, exactly.
And like, we're like part of a group of streamers all together. Like, we all kind of know each other ish network and whatever, and we're like a wave of people like moving. At least that's how I see it.
Oh no, exactly, you know? Exactly.
And like, we all kind of help each other, and they all did the same thing for them. So as they grow, we all grow, and we all start moving up. And some people are able to hop the groups. Some people stay in the group. Unfortunately, some people leave the group. But you know, it's like, you know, big streamers don't. I guess pretty much.
No, exactly. And I mean, and like, a few things that you're saying, like hosting like a smaller streamer, helping them out, is like, you got, first let's just talk about from the small streamer's point of view, or like looking at from that, like, not the small streamer's point of view, but like looking at the small streamer, like, they might not be equipped to be able to handle that many people. Like, them, like, they are not at that level of streaming where they can even put like forward their like best game. And so I would almost be worried, because I'd be like, I can't handle that many people in chat. And so I'd be worried that, like, now this isn't a good stream anymore. And so I'm like, oh, wow, all these people are seeing me at this moment where, like, I'm flustered and I'm, like, embarrassed and I don't know what's going on. Like, so you can kind of almost hurt them, or, like, it's something that we kind of all dream of, like, we want that, but when we actually get it, we're like, wait, we didn't want that? Like, we wanted the smaller version of that? But if you look at it from the streamer's point of view, like, you got three issues, like, two or three issues. Like, one is, what they're going to go host someone. They don't know what that person's content is like, right? Like, yes. They're just to go throw a bone to a small streamer. Not all small streamers are good streamers. Like, hate to say it, like, you know, you have very quality. No, yeah. And so it's like, what, they're just going to go pick someone, like, just because you want them to do it? That doesn't mean that you're good enough, because, like, think about it, they worked hard to build this audience, and they're basically giving you, like, a rubber stamp of approval.
Exactly.
You know, it's the first thing. But the second thing is also, like, you're saying we have groups that we come up in, and they have other fellow streamers that they also want to support. Yeah. So why should they support you that they don't even know, when they have an actual friend that they want to kind of like
take
all the support over to?
Like, so that's kind of like what I do too. Like, if I'm going to host someone, I don't host that many random people. Sometimes I will.
Mm-hmm.
But like, if I see someone that I'm not following, that I'm not friends with, streaming, then I'll be like, yeah, we could try and see if there's someone. But I'm also very picky with who I host, because I don't want like something. Like, I want to watch someone before I host them. So sometimes I'll, like, not really interact with them. I'll see them. Mm-hmm. Be like, okay, maybe we'll host this guy at a certain time, so I'll follow him and we'll, like, keep him on the back burner. Yeah. You know, that type of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Or her, whoever it is, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, yeah, that's all. But I wanted to bring up something that there was a change over this past weekend for Twitch.
Okay.
That not a lot of people are talking about, but I think it's something that might be kind of interesting, was that Twitch has changed their requirements for partnership.
Wait, what?
This past weekend.
Oh, really?
And no one's been talking about it, really.
Oh, really? Yeah. I did not know this. I didn't even know about
this. Yeah. So.
I got to say now, because this is not a biased podcast, Shenantix changes people's lives.
We do.
Even when Skanky brings it up, or I bring it up, it's a team effort.
It's a team effort. We change each other's lives.
We honestly do.
Now, they have three new guidelines.
Okay.
For becoming a partner: an established and steady growing audience in chat.
Okay.
A regular broadcast schedule at least 3 times a week.
Okay.
Content that conforms to rules of conduct, and that's it.
Whoa! Holy shit! They don't. Okay.
There's no more viewer count numbers, followers, anything. There's no numbers in the new partnership application guidelines.
Interesting.
Now, I think that this is because they don't want you to focus on numbers anymore.
Yeah.
But they're still important.
So, no, exactly. And so what I think it is because their older ones always said that too. It's like, don't focus on numbers because that's not a guarantee.
But they're like, hey, you need 500 plus viewers.
Yeah, exactly. It was always the most insane thing. Like, you need 500 plus viewers, but don't focus on numbers. Like, okay, whatever. But I think that the number is still there.
Yeah.
I mean, because it always
was. It is still there.
Yeah, definitely. It always was before. Like, they're not. Because, like, also, what is growing and consistent schedule and for how long consistent schedule, right? So it's like, they still kind of evaluate that. Which one thing, that's one thing I will say I like about the partnership application process. It has a lot of downsides. One of it feels like a black box, right? Like, okay, I'm going to submit it. You get accepted or rejected. And kind of was like, okay, why? I've heard from people that if you're rejected from partnership and you ask them why, they'll give you constructive feedback, or they'll be able to tell you generally, like, you know, oh, your viewer numbers aren't where they need to be or something like that. And so like, that is one good thing, even though it is like kind of like a black box you can't really see into. Like, one nice thing is they do give you a little bit of guidance to it. But the one thing I want to, like, I do think is that a lot of the decisions I've seen, there's some I disagree with, and I'm also biased because if a friend gets rejected for partnership, I'm always like, why? Like, they're great. I love them. Why don't you love them? Like, but there's a lot where it's like it makes sense. Like, a lot of the ones that need to be partnered get the partnership. And sometimes the people that get rejected, like, they probably shouldn't be partners, or they're just small enough, or like, you know, they're not at that point of their streaming type thing. Like, in-game Asylum, when he got partnered, like, I was like, obviously, like, yes, that guy should have been partnered. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like, the system does work to a certain extent, but it, I don't know, the partnership application is interesting.
I've never even looked at it.
I haven't either. I'm saying, like, in general, because it's like,
yeah,
it's interesting because, like, it's always, like, in the back of my mind, because, like, I don't ever necessarily plan to, like, get partnership type thing. Like, I don't stream to be like, oh, one day I'll be partnered. Like, it's kind of like a good goal to be like, it's something to attain and achieve, but, like, at the same time, like, it's not like something I worry about every day type thing. And so I'm always like, when, if I was going to apply for partnership, when is it going to be? Because, like, right now it doesn't feel like the right time for me. And so it's like, okay, it's somewhere down the road. But now that's, like, changed, I'm like,
all three of those I meet. Like, not gonna lie, like, my audience has been growing, but they don't say what rate it has to grow at. I can tell
they
you
say no rate.
I can tell you 1 year ago today, my audience is probably 30 times larger than it was. But yeah, like, when you go from 1 to 30, like, that is 30 times larger drum. So it is, and it's been growing pretty steadily, and I've streamed 5 nights a week for over a year now.
Yeah.
Like, well, we, of course, there's break. Like, I didn't stream this week because of PAX East. But, like, other than that,
unacceptable. Denied.
Yeah, right? Exactly. So, but I think I like that, and all my content adheres to their content guidelines. So, like, technically, I would fall within
you
that.
You meet the guidelines.
Exactly. So maybe I should apply for partnership just to see if there is the number requirement.
Maybe.
Right? So we can see it, and then we can report back on the Shenantics podcast.
We
like,
could do that.
Like, the guidelines changed, but just so you guys know, there is still the number somewhere.
It's on the guidelines, but it is.
Exactly. I asked why I got rejected. They said I don't have 500 viewers.
Unspoken rule.
Yeah, so...
Oh, yeah, we raised to 1,000.
Yeah, I know, right? But one thing... Because one thing they also had in the old guidelines, which it might be further down, like, the little explanation-y type paragraphs, is they always say, like, it's also depending on the content you stream. Because not all content has 500 people watching it.
Nah.
So, like, you'll see people that, like, they specialize in retro, or they play older games, and they get partnership with, like, 15 or 50 people watching them.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, that makes sense, because like you will never get 500.
Yeah.
And but that's a giant community. 50 is a giant community for the game you play. And also creative, like there's very different considerations for creative.
Definitely
streamers.
Different. I see a lot of like 30 plus viewers on creative streams.
Yeah. And usually they're amazing artists. And so it's like, it's like you clearly have the talent. We just need the people to find you.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
So yeah, so it's just, I don't know, that is actually really interesting. And so I think it's interesting because I might think harder about when I would do partnership.
Yeah.
So, and if I would, because my thing is like, for me, it doesn't offer much because I don't really care about the like revenue side of it, like for the way I stream.
Mm-hmm.
And we have quality options now. Like, you and I usually have quality options across
the
board.
Best
oh, thing. It's amazing. It's the number one thing I ever want a partnership
I've raised
for.
My bitrate so much. It's
yeah.
It's been incredible. Have you done that yet?
No, I keep fighting.
Dude,
like between.
So, on the subreddit, there's like the Twitch staff guy who posts every once in a while. Every single time someone posts about transcode settings, he's like, I think he like developed the transcode settings for everyone. He's like, guys, there's no reason why you should not be streaming at 3500.
Yeah, the reason I worry though is that if I fall back to a number where I don't get the transcode settings. Like,
people
don't get
sometimes.
Quality options. Yeah, and so...
But I think that it doesn't matter. Once we get put into the pool, I think we're, like, in some sort of...
Maybe.
I think we're in some sort of thing, because I get them, like, no matter what.
Secret club?
We're in, like, a secret transcode club.
Yes.
Can we get shirts made for secret transcode club?
If I could make runs of, like... I think you can on Teespring. We just like what
Twitch.
T-shirts.
If you want to buy this shirt idea off of me,
yeah,
I will offer you a great price.
Exactly. Anyways, but so that was the number one reason why I ever wanted to become a partner, was to give people quality options. For those guys that don't know,
reminder:
on Twitch, whatever you stream at, whatever quality is, like 1080p, 60 frames per second, and a certain bit rate, that's what people have to then watch it at. And so if you have poor internet or you're further away, like if you're across, like we stream in United States, so if you're in Europe, like it can impact like how your stream is, like it lags or drops or anything like that. With transcode settings, you can say, okay, I don't want to watch it with the streamer setting it through it. I want to watch it on mobile, low, medium, high. And another thing is also data, right? If I watch a skanky stream at source on the train on my phone, it sucks up like a gigabyte before I get home. Or if I throw it on mobile, he looks like a freaking Minecraft dude. He's so blocky. But,
a Roblox guy.
Exactly. But at least I'm able to use like 10 megabytes.
Yeah,
so,
true.
Like, so that's one I see. But that's why I've always wanted is because that's what really impacts me and like my stream. But they are releasing things that people could want. So if you're saying from a community perspective, like say you don't even care about the revenue at all, there's a huge community reason to get partnered. First of all, people that support you, they're now supporting a partner streamer, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I like watching Skanky. He's a partner streamer of Twitch, right? It feels a little bit cooler when someone that is part of your community.
Sounds a little more official.
Exactly. Second thing, they get emotes, right? Like, we have our emotes for Better Twitch TV, and people use them across chats, right?
They do.
I get emotes from your channel, in my channel, like, and stuff like that.
Joe
so,
Champ.
Joe Chan's actually not my
shirt. Sure not mine. Yes. Yeah.
Anyways, but they have emotes, and so it'd be cool to have the option that they can use it anywhere. And I worry about better Twitch TV and shows up on mobile and stuff like that. Last thing, I don't know if you saw this was announced. You know this was announced because you were at the Twitch Town Hall.
Uh-huh.
Is animated GIF cheer emotes for partnered streamers.
Yeah.
And so partnered streamers can now upload not just an image, but an animated emote that can go along with the donating system that's built into Twitch. And so if people want to use that, like you have to be partnered to even offer that.
But yeah.
It might be something that catches on where people love it, and it's something that partner streamers can offer their community that we can't. And so those are a few reasons, like even just from the community standpoint, that partnership is beneficial.
Yeah. But. Now I also want to talk about bits real quick.
Okay.
Because I was at the Twitch products panel today.
Mm-hmm.
And they were asked a question about bits
mm-hmm.
being offered for non-partnered streamers.
Okay.
And we're always like, that's never going to happen.
That's never going
to
happen.
It's never going to happen because they have to organize all this paperwork, and they're not going to deal with that crap.
Yeah.
But he said that he's not going to answer it right now, but that more of this is going to come later in the year for bits for non-partner streamers. And what I thought was, at first I was like, that's never going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to deal with the paperwork, whatever.
Yeah.
But I thought for a second, and I said, why haven't they made a Streamlabs competitor yet?
Good call.
And like, I was kind of thinking about it, and then I was talking to Gabla, she was sitting next to me at the panel, and then I was like, yeah, make a Streamlabs competitor, they put all the paperwork through there,
mm-hmm.
it'd be all automated maybe,
mm-hmm.
and like, you don't have to deal with it that much, and then, you know, bits for everybody pretty much.
Yeah.
And the two guys in front of me, I thought they were partner streamers because they had their sweatshirts on. And they were like kind of like looking back at me slightly. And I was like, that's interesting. I wasn't trying to hear what I'm saying about this. And I'm like, okay, whatever. So another person asked a question, and they were like, the people on stage were like, oh, like, we can't answer this question. You should ask the two guys in the back who are the business directors or something for Twitch. And they both raised their hand of the two guys in front of me. I was like, interesting.
Should give him your card.
Yeah.
Were you trying to listen to me? Great ideas. I make amazing names.
Great names. 10 out of 10 names.
Yeah.
But I thought that was a little interesting. Interesting question.
Yeah.
Why they haven't done anything with Streamlabs, or if they're partnering with Streamlabs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. How do you feel about bits for non-partners? I don't really know how I feel about that, to be honest.
I don't know. I feel kind of the same way. I feel kind of the same way that I do about donations. Like, it'll work for some people. I don't know if it's right for my stream. But it can also get annoying. Like, even partner streamers, you have sometimes that, like, are a little too beggy, grabby for bits. Like, and they just kind of, even like the same thing with donations. I don't see how it would hurt because you don't have to opt in. You have to opt into it, right? So, like, it's not like they turn it on and it's on my channel. So.
And I feel like people would maybe like it more, because doesn't Streamlabs take a cut or something of your donation?
I think they take a cut, but you also have it. But it also goes through PayPal too. Like
PayPal's
still the back end, if I remember correctly. They also have the credit card option now, so I don't know. I haven't touched the donation side of Streamlabs in like a year, and so I don't know exactly. So maybe they do take a
because
cut.
Because I think that if Twitch made a Streamlabs competitor, and then part of your donations went to Twitch,
mm-hmm.
then people might be more inclined to use that.
Yeah. Right? Well, that's how it is with bits anyways.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like you have to spend like it's like hypothetically it's like $120 for 100 bits, right? And the extra $20 pretty much goes to Twitch. Like, I don't know exactly what the numbers are, but like it's something like that. And so that would also make sense of why Twitch would want to offer bits to non-partner streamers, because they're taking a cut of you buying a pool of bits. Well, an incentive for you to buy more pools of bits is so that you can then go spend those bits on like Skanky, M-Cole, Multitus, you know, all of them.
Yeah.
So it kind of, they have like a little bit of an incentive to offer non-partner streamers bits, but they also have that same incentive for subscriptions. But the difference is with subscriptions, you have a whole other management side of things, because when you're partnered and they give you a subscription, all that kind of stuff, it comes with custom emotes that someone has to approve. Like, they want to be able to say partners can do this at their events and everything. So it kind of adds this other thing where they could do bits would be like, you're not a partner, you just have access to bits, and the only bits that you get to use are the default Little gem type ones, right? And so it's like, so for them, it doesn't really add too much on the management side. Like, there's a little bit on the back end with social security numbers and tax forms and stuff like that. But like, PayPal and Streamlabs deal with that anyway. So it's not like it's an insurmountable thing that Twitch can't possibly do. I think from at this point, it's always, it, at this point till now, it's pretty much been policy reasons, right? Not that they couldn't take on the work, but like, it seems like it would add more trouble to them than it would, like, than the benefit of being able to say, hey, person that has two viewers, you can now have bits, because those tend to be the people that are really chomping at the bit.
We'll be here all week.
Yes. Those are the people that are really chomping at the bit to get bits, is that the people that, like, they just start streaming because, like, oh, that'd be cool because it could be a revenue avenue, right? Yeah. Most people are, like, mid-size, like, I don't think you and I have ever talked about bits on our channel before. Like, it's not like you and I, because like you and I talk off stream and off podcast, like about ideas and stuff like that. And I've never been like, hey, hey man, I really wish I had bits right now.
I could care less. The only time I ever think about bits is if I'm watching like a partner streamer and they get a bit and I'm like, wait, that's a bit that exists. Exactly. And then if someone comes into my stream and is like, oh, you don't accept bits?
Yeah.
I'm like, sorry, that's not how it works in this channel.
Exactly.
Or like when people get angry at me for not being partnered. I'm like, sorry. Like,
sorry, I'm not good enough.
Can't quite do anything about that.
Thanks, Dad.
Wow, Dad. Thanks.
Why have you got that promotion yet, Skanky? Oh, man.
I know, right?
Yeah. I think Twitch is changing a lot on both technical side and what they do on their website, but also the back end business side. And I think it's going to be really cool seeing what happens in the next year.
Oh, yeah.
I think, a big thing that comes up in the subreddit all the time that really annoys me, and it kind of relates to earlier, but when people are like, oh, when small streamers say Twitch doesn't do anything to help us out. And it's like, okay, I can understand like the frustration of feeling that way. And there are things, specific things, they'd be like, oh, if they change this, it would help us out more and stuff like that. So I was like, yes. Can they do some? Yes. But there's a lot of stuff they do. Transcoding is a great example. Oh, we have it.
For everybody.
Exactly.
You know how much that took? How much money that probably cost them?
Yeah. And so it's like, yes, they do stuff to help us out. Communities is ideally something that would help out smaller streamers. In implementation, I think in theory that's what they want to do, right? And so it's like in implementation, it might not ever happen, or it definitely isn't there yet.
But a search function, which they're doing.
Yes, exactly. And so I feel like going forward they are, and we see more and more of this. And so that's why I feel like,
especially now that they have the Amazon muscle behind them, we're going to see more for the mid-sized small streamers, which the big streamers also get to take benefit from, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, I think we're going to see more of that going forward.
Yeah.
I think we saw that at the town hall, and like you said, the product thing, where it's like, maybe it's going to happen. They didn't say it was, but like, it's kind of hopeful. So
it's kind of going to happen.
Yeah. So I think, and as long as they realize that that is somewhere they kind of want to work, or realize that we exist, then it's at least there's hope that there's something.
They know that we exist.
We're like the weird stepchildren. That's like,
we're kind of, yeah. I mean,
like, oh, you're still there. Let me turn the lights back on.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think it'll be a cool year.
Yeah. No, it definitely will be. They will. They're gonna release things that help focus.
Mm-hmm.
Like focus on us.
Yeah.
No, and exactly. There's gonna be more. They're gonna like bring us up. And it only helps them. You know.
That's true.
If we succeed.
That's true.
Which we will.
Yeah,
we're winners.
We are winners. We're going to get that promotion, Dad.
Oh, yeah, Dad. We're going to get that promotion.
Great. So we're about at time, but wrapping up, we have to talk about food.
Oh, yeah, we do.
And I was going to ask you what your favorite thing you ate at PAX East was, but that was kind of lame, so I'm not going to ask you that one. I do want to say that,
a good question.
No, that's a terrible question because my follow-up question is so much better.
Okay,
you can answer whichever one you want. I'll give you options.
Wow.
How about that? Like, this is brand new in the shenanigans territory.
Never done before.
So, you know the first one. What was the favorite thing you ate at PAX East? The reason I didn't want to is because I ate what I eat every other time.
Never mind.
So, I don't have an answer. But no, you and I went to, we had lunch with like a big group of people yesterday.
Yeah, we did.
We had pizza.
We had some za.
Oh, so good. It was really, 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 really good. I had the something Diablo one. It was really, really spicy.
It was spicy.
It was so good. I was not a big like fan of spicy food until like maybe a year or two ago. And now I like it. I don't like it too hot. But like, I can like the flavor of that now. Anyways, but so you do something because like all New Yorkers, you have like a nonstop weird shit that you guys do, like fucking like online, in line. Like, could we? I think
it's online.
That's a sub theme of the
Hot Pretzels.
It's a sub theme of the Shenetics podcast. We make lives better and do not understand New Yorkers.
We make fun of whatsoever. New Yorkers, pretty much.
But when you eat pizza, you fold your pizza in half before you eat it.
Do you not fold your pizza?
No, I've never folded pizza before.
Never.
And I'm looking around at this table of like people like folded pizza, and I'm just like, what the hell? And like, this is driving me crazy. And I was like, I gotta ask Skanky about this.
Okay.
The next time I'm going to talk to him is the Shenanigans podcast, because we never talk outside of that.
We never talk, because I really hate you.
Exactly. He still's not giving me the password.
I never will.
So why is it that you fold your pizza?
I've always folded my pizza.
Is there a reason, or is it just that's the way it's done?
I think I've never eaten a pizza just straight on, like,
yeah,
without folding it. I think it's just an easier way. I think it probably evolved. So New Yorkers have a thing,
mm-hmm,
where we do everything because we're in a rush.
Yeah, okay.
So we're folding the pizza because it's easier to walk with. Mm-hmm. You hold one hand like this, one hand with the plate, and you're just like eating, yeah, it like that, and you're just walking someplace.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that New Yorkers, they don't do what people think we do because of Saturday Night Fever, is we put two slices on top of each other and we eat them at the same time.
You don't do that.
No one does that.
Okay.
But like, it's like a New York thing. Like, yeah, oh, you, yeah, put two slices on top of each other and you eat it.
Yeah. That doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen, though. Yeah. But yeah.
I need to say that. Okay. Like,
it's because we're in a rush.
No, but that's what I have to say. Like, this relates to what you just said. One thing I love about you is you know how to walk. Like,
oh, I walk fast.
Oh, you gotta walk fast. Life is too freaking short to be a fast
walker.
Yes. I mean, I was having a hard time keeping up with that. I'm gonna put like, if I've been like, Alicia, and be like, get back here, you're even too fast for me. And the rest of the group is 3 miles back.
I can't do it. I walk very fast.
I get irritated when I'm behind slow people, and like, I have to pass. I agree with you.
I get angry at people when they walk slow in New York.
You know, I lied at the beginning of this podcast.
What?
I know, I'm sorry.
You never lie.
I know.
I'm just an Irish never lies.
No, Irish never lies. I said that my favorite thing about PAX was probably the indie, but I lied. My favorite thing is walking with Skanky, because it felt like someone finally understands me. Like, I think that you and I need to move to the same city. We're going to pick one, and then we can just walk everywhere together.
I'm telling you, man. People get angry at me. They're like, slow down. I'm like, I'm walking slow.
They just, exactly. This is the slow one.
This
you want
is
to see
the
me fast?
Slow version of me walking.
Exactly.
Are there a lot of fast walkers in Chicago?
Yeah, there is. Yes. Yeah. When me and my brothers would travel, we would always be like, it's really irritating to travel somewhere else because they don't walk like people in Chicago do.
Uh-huh.
And I'm assuming like it might be like New York, and then like Chicago's a few notches down in the speed.
Yeah.
But like when we went to New Orleans, and like it was just like, oh my god, please just everyone get on my way. Like,
yeah,
I don't understand why you do not understand how to move through sidewalks.
I just can't do it. I tried. I've tried to not walk fast.
Yeah,
but it's ingrained. Like it's in me. Like I remember I was walking to work one day, and I wasn't even walking like really fast, but I was doing like a fast paced walk, like you would like a regular New York walk.
Mm-hmm.
And I was walking past like a hotel or something, and a touristy couple came out. And they were walking ahead of me, and I like swerved around them and like kept walking, and I could hear them like in their country accent, like be like, "Wow, like these New York walkers."
Oh,
I was
my
like,
gosh.
I'm like, "This is a normal speed of walk."
Damn country walkers!
Damn country walkers!
Oh man, no, that is great. But yeah, that's my favorite thing. So and. That pizza was so damn good.
Was really good.
I almost folded it just to see what it was like, but I couldn't give it.
Just
try it. I'll try
it. You can't do it with the deep dish Chicago stuff.
Yeah,
but you're not used to the thin crust, right?
I am used to the thin crust.
I thought you weren't.
We have thin crust pizza in Chicago.
You do?
We do.
I thought it was all like Empire State Building stuff.
Well, I mean, well, what are you saying? What do you mean by thin crust? Like, if it's 5 inches or less, that's thin crust to us. Right,
like a thin crust pizza is like, for New York, it's like regular pizza is just like that. Like, no, the people on the podcast.
I was
just
saying, like, this is,
right,
this is wonderful.
Do
I
you
totally
guys agree?
Agree
do you guys agree in the podcast about this? See, being together is weird because like I'm okay. Because
if we weren't, you would have to tell me what you're trying to
exactly.
do.
Exactly. Like okay, a thin crust pizza is like super duper thin, kind of like what we were having at the
yeah.
place,
okay.
the pizza place.
Yeah.
Now a regular slice of New York is like a little bit bigger.
So it's like a half an inch.
And then like
maybe an inch, half an inch to an inch.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. You want to know something that's going to blow your mind?
Tell me.
We have that in Chicago.
Thanks for listening to the Shanties. I didn't know that. No, okay, all right. I'm sure you did. I'm just
yeah. No, I know.
Or am I? I don't know. I guess we'll find out next week.
Do you know what's great?
What?
Take a pizza.
Uh huh.
Take a saltine.
Uh huh.
Scrap the salt off the saltine.
Oh my god.
Onto the top of the pizza.
You and these saltine. And
you eat it. It will change your freaking life. You guys, that has actually been another episode of the Shenantics Podcast. It is a podcast that goes live every Monday morning in time for your commute. We try and launch at like 7 o'clock Central Time, 8 o'clock Eastern, so you guys can download the episode before you head into the office. Listen to it on your work day, doing yes. your chores, all that kind of good
clean
stuff.
Clean your cat litter out.
Clean out the cat litter and go to school, whatever it is that you guys do.
Go to school.
Go to school now. You can find the podcast wherever you find podcasts. It's also on the iTunes Store, on the Google Play Store, and you can go to our website at shenantics.rocks. If you would be so kind, please leave us a rating and review on the iTunes Store.
I'd love
really,
that.
Really does help. Because Skinky really loves that, and he really wants it, because when we hit number one on the iTunes Store, we can probably get sponsors, and we can hire a full-time editor.
Oh, God, I can't wait for that.
Exactly. Moment. And then our friendship will get stronger, because they'll stop hating me for all the
exactly.
coughs.
All I have to do is just, you know, talk to M. Cole for like an hour and a half, and then that's it.
That is it. And he's done. He is done.
Done.
If you guys want to reach out and contact us to let us know how you like the show, or if you have any questions, you can reach out to us on Twitter, twitter.com/shenanticspod, or send us an email to shenanticspodcast@gmail.com. You can also join the discussion with all the other Shenantics fanatics on the Discord. Get links to the invite on that at shenantics.rocks under the About section. Skinky, where can they find you on the internet?
That was a really long. I don't know. It felt longer when you were talking about it.
Would you have to watch me say it? Quietly sitting in the corner.
Exactly. I'm just like, oh my God, this is long. You can find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/skanky, SKXNKY, and on Twitter at iSkanky with an A instead of an X. M. Cole, where can they find you?
Twitch.tv at MCUL. _ Same username on Twitter, twitter.com/MCUL_. That is the symbol, not the word.
Thank God for that clarification.
Thank goodness. Thank goodness.
I would have wrote it out.
I actually now own M. Cole _ all written out, just in case. But there's nothing on there, so it doesn't even help me.
Oh, okay. Whatever.
I just have it, so all the Shenantics people that find us this way, they have somewhere they can go and hang out. But it'll be great.
M. Cole, it was great talking to you in person.
I know. Says we should do this more often.
Maybe we should, yeah.
Actually, it would be cool to hang out more often. We should get together sometime in the future.
Yeah, sure.
It's like, why does Kiki never go to PAX East again?
Guys, this is my last PAX East. I'll see you never.
Yeah, at least don't tell M. Cole if I do show up again.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah, it has been a great PAX East, and it's been great talking to you for another
week.
Great
talking to you as well.
All right, I'll see you guys later.
Goodbye.